Greetings in Christ. I'm Pastor Andrew Preuss. The New Testament reading for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. Make room in your hearts for us. We have wronged no one, we have corrupted no one, we have taken advantage of no one. I do not say this to condemn you, for I said before that you are in our hearts, to die together and to live together. I am acting with great boldness toward you. I have great pride in you. I am filled with comfort. In all our affliction, I am overflowing with joy. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. For even if I made you grieve with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that that letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffered no loss through us. For godly grief produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret, whereas worldly grief produces death. For see what earnestness this godly grief has produced in you, but also what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what punishment. At every point you have proved yourselves innocent in the matter. So although I wrote to you, it was not for the sake of the one who did the wrong, nor for the sake of the one who suffered the wrong, but in order that your earnestness for us might be revealed to you in the sight of God. Therefore we are comforted, and besides our own comfort, we rejoiced still more at the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For whatever boasts I made to him about you, I was not put to shame. But just as everything we said to you was true, so also our boasting before Titus has proved true. And his affection for you is even greater, as he remembers the obedience of you all, how you received him with fear and trembling. I rejoice because I have complete confidence in you. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. St. Paul teaches us that fellowship in the church happens under the cross. This includes fighting without and fear within. This includes outward crosses, which the apostle calls fighting without, such as persecution, sickness, disaster, conflict, scandalous living, and especially false doctrine. We must contend against these things and stand on the unchanging truth of Scripture, which alone reveals to us our salvation in Jesus Christ. This also includes internal crosses, which the apostle calls fears within, such as the striving to maintain a good conscience, putting to death the desires of the sinful flesh, and battling against doubt, despair, confusion, pride, unbelief, and all things that wage war against our souls. Fellowship in the church doesn't exist without these battles, because our fellowship is maintained. Our holiness is completed in the fear of God. In fear and trembling, God works within us both to will and to do for his good pleasure. But how? It is through applying his promises to our lives. This is the comfort of Christ, who bore all sin on the cross and was raised from the dead, with all powers under his feet, declaring us poor sinners righteous in the sight of God. This is the gospel message, and it is at the center of everything we teach and practice. St. Paul simply calls it comfort. As Isaiah says, though you were angry with us, your anger has been turned away and you comfort us. Whether we are teaching people about living a chaste life, defending marriage against perversions, as Paul spent his first epistle doing, or we are teaching the whole Christian doctrine, this comfort remains at the center. Such comfort of Christ, true God and man, who died for our sins and was raised for our justification, is always the broken heart. It is always for the broken heart. It is always for the conscience that can't find peace in its own activities. Such comfort, in other words, always exists under the cross. God comforts us in our afflictions. Paul is therefore comforted by the report of Titus, who delivered him the news that the saints in Corinth had repented of their pride, their sexual immorality, their idol worship, of dragging one another to court, of treating the Lord's Supper as a common meal, of treating doctrinal unity as optional while forming personality cults and confusing the power of the gospel for worldly pomp and control. They recognized that they had been foolish, and this has made them sad. They're ashamed and embarrassed. But St. Paul teaches them that such sadness is not in vain. It is godly sorrow because it leads to repentance and life. Repentance includes sorrow over sin and faith in Christ as the only comfort. And this is how church fellowship is practiced. When the pure doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments is received with meekness, repentance, and faith, when faithful teachers are welcomed, when sinners are called to repentance, and when the broken heart is comforted by the voice of the Good Shepherd, when we stand on this confession, when we are strengthened by it in our outward duties and given peace in our conscience, then our affection and confidence for one another grows strong. May God bestow on us his grace and favor to please him with our behavior and live as brethren here in love and union, nor repent this blessed communion. O Lord, have mercy. Let not thy good spirit forsake us. Grant that heavenly-minded he make us. Give thy church, Lord, to see days of peace and unity. O Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave your servant John the Baptist to be the forerunner of your Son, Jesus Christ, in both his preaching of repentance and his innocent death. Grant that we, who have died and risen with Christ in holy baptism, may daily repent of our sins, patiently suffer for the sake of the truth, and fearlessly bear witness to his victory over death. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.